Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things. We don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook, and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves. As we are women, we are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. Today we are going to be talking about a totally different topic than we have in the past. We're going to be talking about a novel, something that is really great to be able to talk about in this show. It's talking about a story, about how we are becoming in this world, how things can change, how we can take over, you know, and grasp onto our power, how we could feel more present in this world. You know, there's so many books out there. You need to do 1 through 10 and make sure you do it and, you know, put down that book so you're not doing it in your brain. You need to do an experience and, you know, or you need to read this book and then buy my program and then maybe you also have to walk on hot coals in Peru. Well, you know, maybe not. There's millions of different people in this world. There's millions of different ways. A few of those things might work for you, but for all the rest of the several million, here's another way. Just another way to be able to read a great story and say, wow, you know, this part seems like me. That's really cool. I'm going to do this. I'm going to read this and set the book down. We're going to be talking about a novel, and the novel is The Secret of Mago Castle, and the author is Rebecca Tinkle, who's with us today, and it's great to be having her with us because it's about telling a story. You know, we always want to hear someone else's story. Tell me your story. You know, people will put things on the internet, and they'll say, this is the fact. And then after that, you see comments. After that, you see people's stories, or you see case studies, or references, or referrals. We're always looking for the story. How might I connect with the concepts? Great book to be able to connect with the concepts. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm so happy to be here.
You know, don't you think the world has changed so much? And, you know, we love to have a story to see how we might be able to relate to the concepts, don't you think?
Yeah, I really do. And, you know, storytelling wasn't something that always came easily and naturally to me. But once I had a really big sort of awakening about myself and the world, and then I just started sort of seeing things in stories after that experience. So I think storytelling is a safe way because there's so many different belief systems out there, and people are really attached to, you know, the information that they've learned throughout their lives and the things that they hold, the values they hold in their heart. And so storytelling is just a really easy, simple, non-invasive way to just share some of the wisdom, you know, that kind of are universal and just can carry on through time, year after year after year, relating to anybody, anywhere, because we're all, like you said, living a life story. And we have triumphs, and we have failures, and we shrink back sometimes, and we rise to the occasion. And, you know, we all have these rich experiences in our lives that create the story of our lives. So writing fiction for me has been a super fun way to just share some of the lessons and values that I've gleaned along the way, having a really tumultuous and sometimes peaceful and sometimes fantastical and sometimes horrible life. Learning how to deal with it all.
And I think so many people, you know, we've come through the mill, you know. I grew up in the 50s and the 60s, and life was so different there. There was very little conversation. You were just out. You were enjoying life. Everything was great. People weren't tied up with cell phones and all the internet and all that other stuff. And even then, it was just when television came out. So really, life was so much easier at that time, I think. And now we say it's so busy now. We're grasping at straws. We don't know where we're going. It's like information overload, and someone's doing something, and you go over and you dabble in that, and ooh, something else will draw you over to something else, or you'll see another piece of eye candy down the other way, and you'll say, oh, maybe I'll try that. And I think it actually ends up disseminating who we are. It really, it shatters our feelings and our sense and our spirit, because we get so diversified and so spread out that we really can't even focus on what our morals or our ethics or our inner spirit is really saying.
Yeah, you know, actually, I have an experience that relates to that, and it's off topic of the book, but I'll just kind of go into it really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I myself suffered from ADHD when I was young, and my brain just like hopped around from thing to thing to thing to thing. And after I really, you know, I did like the yoga, Tai Chi practice and energy work, and I really learned how to listen to my body. And through that practice, I realized that the reason that my mind hopped around from thing to thing to thing to thing was because I didn't have my nervous system as my antenna. So now that I've like really harmonized my mind and my body tells me exactly what I should focus on. It literally filters out the things that aren't useful for me. But I get a feeling, like, you know, if I'm watching a certain TV show and I'm feeling like all of a sudden my body feels a little tired, that's the antenna, a built-in nervous system we have, that tells me, oh, okay, well, the information in this show actually isn't benefiting me in particular. So maybe I'll turn the channel, or maybe I'll go have a cup of tea, or maybe I'll read a book, or, you know, find something else. And so using your body, I think, is the solution. Really keying into the sensations in your body is the solution to that sort of like looking around, trying many things, ADHD, because everyone's different. So what works for me won't work for you necessarily. And our nervous systems are these amazing machines. They're these amazing antennas that tell us exactly what's good for us. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Because so many times where I am such in contrast to my husband, he eats junk food, likes loud TV, loves, you know, and the more things he's got going at the same time and with noise, the better. And I'm totally quiet, you know, green drink city, and, you know, the more solitude, the better. And what I find is sometimes when I can dabble into his world, like maybe I'll be sitting in the living room and the TV's on, I will say to him, you know, turn that down. And he does, and that's fine. But there's times when I'll say, this sound or something that's going on is just not resonating with me, or the storyline or whatever it is, and I'll just go about my own space. And it's really about honoring yourself instead of sitting there and complaining and saying, oh, you just didn't put on what I want. You know, what are you going to do? Oh, we always have to watch that. You know, that normal chatter where a lot of people get stuck in that rut of believing that, oh, well, I don't have any control, or they're taking control over me, or I don't have any say. Well, you know, if you don't like it, it doesn't work for you. Get up and move, you know?
Yeah, actually, you just touched on my other favorite topic. Man, you're so intuitive. You're so here with me. My other favorite topic, like one of the other really big lessons that I learned in my life, was connection without attachment. So being able to be connected with the people around you, but not attached to what they're doing, or having to be attached at the hip, or really like, it's connection without attachment is just like being able to value someone's presence in your life without having to really be tied together and have to have the same right. opinions and same likes and same dislikes and even so it's independence. It's like affection with independence worked into it.
You know, that's so vitally important because, you know, as naturopathic physicians, so many times I can look at people's history and they're saying, well, I have this and then this came along and then that came along. And you see and you wonder why they're so sick when they're in their 50s and 60s and they just like hit the wall. And, you know, I found myself, you know, a couple times dipping into that pot to see what it felt like, and it didn't feel so good. And I can remember instances myself, like maybe my daughter, I knew she was driving. I knew she was out. She might have been making choices that I might not have made, or my son's. And so I would sit up all night and worry about it, the whole deal. And then finally I just said, you know what? This is not something that I'm able to do anymore. So when I saw her, saw them for the last time, you know, like when they were getting ready to move or whatever, you know, I said, you know, I really am sad because now I feel like I'm alone, like the cord has been cut. And they're like, oh, well, you're not alone. You have blah, blah, blah. And I'm going, oh, well, whatever. And what I found is that right after I said that, I wailed like nobody's business because it was cutting the cords. It was letting all of those worries and fears go away. And it was just like, I'm just like, as I said to you before the show, checking it off of my list and saying, you know, now you're free. And I don't have control. I don't have restraint. It's not something I have to do. And, you know, when we think of relationships sometimes too. You know, when you say somebody has left me in a relationship or, you know, or maybe a relationship has started and it was just, oh, the best thing ever, you know. And it's really about being impaled by the senses of whatever's going on. So if somebody leaves you, you don't want to be impaled, you know, that, oh, my gosh, you know, they broke my heart. They did this to me. And you feel like you're impaled by it, I like to say. Mm-hmm. Or your kids go off to school or you get fired from a job or whatever that is. Because that impalement is really what I call a ding to the heart. It really takes a piece out of it. And then for the rest of your life, you'll be searching to fix that piece again by whatever manner you might want to choose on later. And what really happens is you keep putting pieces in there and they don't quite fit, you know. Maybe sometimes you just need to say, just wail it out and just let it go and see how it heals on its own. And I really, bringing this back to your book, I really think it's a great idea to talk about it because when you say in your book, a lot of these experiences is how we learn to grow, how we learn to expand ourselves and find ourselves.
Yeah. And so I actually have a lot of experience with growing and expanding myself simply because in my youth, I made really bad choices.
Welcome to the world.
Yeah, like really, like my heart was a little too open. My mind was a little too eager. I was a little too, well, a lot too sensitive. I mean, I just loved love and I just was so excited.
Right.
So I had this like awesome, from birth, from literally the moment that I dropped out of my mother's womb, I was like in love with this version of my life that I was going to have, and it was expansive, and everyone loved me, and I loved everyone else, and life was a celebration, and I remember when I was in my teens, in my early 20s, me and my sister, we were really close, and even at those young ages, we just hung out all the time together. She's 5 years older than me. She kind of like acted as a mentor to me, really. And I would wake up every morning and I would say to her, like, this is going to be the best day of my life. And then I would walk out the door.
Right.
And I would be like shocked by like the disconnection and the lack of willingness to create harmonious, beautiful, love-filled experiences, you know, with each other, with the humans that I met, people that I met. And then I would come home and I would go to bed and then I'd wake up in the morning and I'd be like, Star, that's my sister's name, this is going to be the best day of my life. Like I said it every day for years. And I realized what it was that my brain, my mind, my imagination flashed me these pictures. It literally played me a movie every morning of what my day was going to look like. And it was like the optimal version. And then reality would not match that version. And so in my late 20s, I kept I literally got so mad at my imagination or my consciousness or my brain or whatever you want to call it, that I like, with my thoughts, I scolded it. And I'm like, I said to my imagination, just with my intention or my thoughts, like, stop showing me that picture because you let me down every single time.
Yeah.
And if it was showing me this, like, great and beautiful picture, I wouldn't believe it. Like, I wouldn't follow it. I wouldn't. And that was my rebellion against my own sort of Pollyanna-ness. And so what happened after that is I got really dark, actually. So I went from this, like, really bright, optimistic girl to, like, a pessimist. And because, you know, it was my response to that. And then I went through, you know, many, like, a huge growth period, many, you know, because I was a pessimist, I was attracting a bunch of really, like, sort of stressful situations and not handling them well. And then there was this, like, pinnacle moment where I had another, actually, I have a mentor who I work with, and he really, like, he took me under his wing when I was, like, at my darkest and really helped me reinstill hope again and to really start to live according to the principles of creation versus the principles of attraction. So literally creating the energy that you want in your life versus waiting around to attract it.
Mm-hmm.
And then
when
I became bright again,
uh-huh,
and my mind started showing me those pictures again, the, you know, the really great ones, the awesome ones, I realized, oh, those pictures, those didn't flash in my imagination and showing me what my day was going to be like because that was the world that I was supposed to be born into. Those pictures, they came with me when I was born here under this planet, and they were to show me the world that I was supposed to help create. And that was one of the most powerful, powerful awakenings that I ever had. Like, so that picture, those pictures were so bright and so optimistic. So now that's what I do. I live my life to create that world that my mind keeps, like, pestering me about. And that's why I write conscious fiction novels and or spiritual fiction novels. And that's just why I share my heart, or I try to, even when it's a little closed, I stretch it open and try to share it with the people that I'm with every day.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's so vitally important to notice that everybody is so different, and that just to be able to, like you said, you came into the world with those pictures, but then you went out and experienced something else, but then you were able to come back to it. I know for myself, you know, when I grew up, it was a very difficult life for me, but everybody says, oh, you had such an idyllic childhood, and I'm like, oh, did you grow up in the same house? Did you see the same person I saw? Because that's not what I thought, you know. And because the world had proved something different to me. And then I kept trying to dabble in everybody else's fields and see, oh, well, you're saying this. Let's see how that feels. Or that. How does that look? Or what does that present as? And I think that that was more what I did for, like, several decades because it was important, you know, in medicine. I like to be able to say that I understand a little bit more to some people's experiences because I may have been there. And sometimes that is an asset because when people are in these deep, dark spots, as you've said in your book, even, you know, when you're in these deep, dark spots, you're like, you know, how can anybody else understand that? How can anybody else feel that unless you may have dabbled in it yourself? So that's really important at sometimes, but then be able to say, okay, now how many decades have I done it? And now let's check that off our list and let's get back to what we came here for in the first place. So in your book, you really talk about, you know, how they expanded and started listening to their intuition. So can you share a little bit about how the book started? That would be great.
Sure. So do you want the story behind the story or do you want me to describe the story itself?
Whatever you'd like.
Okay, so I'll describe the story itself and then kind of get into the back end, like the story behind the story, because it's just as, anyway, to me it's just as fascinating because it was a series of miraculous events that led me to writing this novel. So the story is, it's set in Sedona, Arizona, which is now my current hometown. I love it so much here. Oh, it was like an epiphany moving here. I don't even like to leave Sedona at all. Like, I don't even like to drive like past the high school, you know, toward Cottonwood. I just love Sedona. I love the way it feels. I love the people. I love the community. I love the heart, the soul, like everything about it. So the story is set in Sedona, and the characters in this novel, they all come here looking for that thing that people look for when they come here. And that is the experience of something beyond the physical realm of the five senses.
I think it's a spiritual revelation they come there for, because I lived in Arizona myself and went to Sedona all the time. So I think it was really, don't you think they called it that?
Yeah, like, it's a spiritual or even just a sensation of energy or a sensation of something more or a release of emotion. You know, it could be anything, but it's just that non-physical sort of sense of peace or love or release or whatever, or a vision about what they should do for their future. And to be quite honest, Sedona really does have the energy to support that. Like, the earth literally emanates a life force energy that just fills you up. So if anyone listening hasn't been to Sedona, I highly recommend it, especially if you're looking for something more. So my characters come here. They're looking for something more. And my main character, her name's Angeline, and she's a young girl, you know, in her early 30s. She's kind of had a hard life. She's a failed actress. She can't really find, you know, a mate to be with that loves her and wants to be with her in the same way that she wants to be with them. And she's also highly empathic. And what empathic means, for those of you that don't know, it just means that her nervous system is really, really, really very sensitive. And so she feels the thoughts and emotions and even the ailments of other people, the people she's around, within her own nervous system, within her own body. And she struggles with that a lot. And so she comes here and has a series of experiences that show her that this kind of extreme empathetic condition that she has is not a curse, but it's really like her gift to this world.
Mm-hmm.
And she literally has this so that she can help so many people who, like you were talking about, like you've gone into those sort of other people's lives, maybe experience dark situations, so that when you became a healer, you could really, really understand where they were coming from. So she also realizes that. And the book is a little mystical. You know, I speak in everyday language. I don't really use a lot of, like, esoteric, like, wording, but it is a little mystical. She comes here and she meets with the spirit of the earth, or Mother Earth, or Gaia, or Pachamama, or Mago. The spirit of the earth has been identified. I mean, there's millions of names that people have given the spirit that, you know, makes the grass grow and you know, feeds us and nourishes us and sustains our lives. So she meets with an embodiment of the spirit of the earth. Her name is Mother Mago, and she realizes that she was born, Angeline was born specifically to be a vessel for, or an avatar for, the spirit of the earth to speak to humanity and help heal humanity, her children. And so there's a term called oversoul. So there's a theory out there that each of us humans has an oversoul, and it's basically like a great and divine spirit or collective spirit that kind of are experiencing life with us, through us, guiding us, you know, like angels, things like that too.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mother of the Earth is her avatar. Is literally, she's the avatar for the Mother of the Earth. And so it was really fun to, from my own heart, from my own experiences, from my own feeling about the people that I meet and the love that I have for them, and to be able to use Angeline and the Mother of the Earth to communicate my wisdom and the things that I've gleaned from being a human, you know, on this earth, just wanting things to be awesome. So that's just one. I have six main characters, which I've actually developed.
Let's go to this one first. So I think this is very important to focus on, because when we talk about Earth, there's this controversy, there's a lot of communication out there. Go out and get yourself grounded to the Earth. And, you know, I think a lot of people, some people may understand that. A lot of people hear it, and very few actually are able to do it, because they may not be that element that is supposed to connect to the Earth. They may be an element that should be connecting to the stars or to the moon or to the water or to other people or whatever it is. So I think, I know for myself, they would always say, well, you need to go out and connect to the Earth. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I really think this is important to share with the listeners, because a lot of times the language now has gotten a little bit, as you've said, you know, way out there or esoteric or whatever. And not a lot of people understand the words. So I like to always, you know, tell stories and be able to say things different ways. And we say, this is what I think. This is what I heard. This is what I know. And that's a great story, too. So I know for myself, you know, we had Hurricane Katrina here. And I would go out, and I'll tell you, I don't know what it is, but, and I've always had this. I could be going down the street 40 miles an hour, and for some reason, turn my head to the right, and I see a lady in a wheelchair in the middle of the sidewalk, and I'm going, oh, she's all alone. And my husband's going, what are you talking about? Why does that even matter, and how did you see that, you know? Or, you know, I could be stopped at a red light and for some reason turn to the right, and the lady's crying in the car next to me. Or I could be looking at the water and say, that is really flooding, and did you see what was in it? You know, so I guess maybe when we say grounding to the earth, it's more about paying attention to those things around you, knowing that we're not separated from the earth. We are not separated from the energies. We aren't just people that were dropped here by storks. We live in a glass bubble. You know, we act out and we take. And that's really the two separate extremes, you know, about we really need to find our space a little bit closer to we are part of this world, and we are all, as you know, all sharing the same earth and space. It's not about take and glass bubbles.
Yes. So no one's ever actually asked me this before or even addressed it, but I had kind of a cool thought as you were kind of explaining what you meant.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of you and those of us that don't understand what it means to ground to the earth or connect with the earth, so if you think about the human body, each person, you know, is literally comprised of, you know, the body is mass or matter, and then you have your spirit or your soul, which is, you know, like human, and then we also have divinity within us too, which is that higher sort of consciousness that sometimes we spend our lives searching to enhance and grow. And so as a human being, it's kind of the most healthy human being is completely in balance, where the mind, the body, and the spirit are really communicating and moving and as one. And so when we get out of balance, if we're too up in our head thinking about the future, thinking about the past, or if we're too in our emotions and our emotions are kind of like uncontrolled and a little like messy or reactive, if you just connect with the earth, then it will just balance you out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're feeling like a little like a kite without a string, if you just literally go and sit on the ground and breathe and just like feel and notice just your resonance, kind of like when you have two guitars and you pluck the C string on one guitar and you hold the second guitar right in front of it, the second C string will begin to vibrate and play the same notes. Resonance, we all work that way. Everything does through vibration. So if you just really take your attention, so where your mind goes, energy follows. So if you take your attention and you literally start to appreciate your surroundings, or like you said, the things that ground you, then you're connecting with the earth. It's not a mystical thing. It's just like you're putting your attention on it. or if you're putting your attention on the stars or the sky, and that, like, dreaming about the future itself or dreaming about the possibilities, like, am I from this star or was I once a star, piece of stardust floating there, you know, that's literally connecting with the celestial energy. Or if you think about angels, your mind is literally keying into that sort of, like, realm of existence, that aspect of existence. Or if you have a little baby in your hand, you know, plump, juicy, slobbery little baby, you're, through looking at this baby and putting your attention on this baby, you're also opening and expanding your own humanity, your own soul. And that's why it's so satisfying when we're in love and we, like, look in each other's eyes or we have a baby or, you know. So that's it. Being grounded, grounding to the earth is just connecting with the earth. And allowing your body to fill with that energy. That was a long explanation. Was it?
Well, you know, I think it's really important. You know, even when we say, I think I probably grew up that way because I was always outside or in the energy of the earth or whatever. You know, all of our food was from the ground. You know, in the 50s and 60s, it was all really, there wasn't, you know, grocery stores were not the rage. But anyway, you know, and as I grew older, you know, the idea of when you open your eyes, the sun is what wakes you up. Or, you know, if you feel too much energy in a room, just open the window or the door, you know. You can let some of that out. And about knowing that you can do that. You know, sometimes if you feel so irritated or agitated, going back to even what we said before, get up, make a change, do that. So if something isn't feeling right, just move, you know.
It's like using it as an antidote or as a medicine.
It's using it as your radar again, as you said in the beginning of the call. Mm-hmm.
So that's what I have to say about that. Next question. Do you want me to keep talking about the book?
Sure.
Okay. So in this book, there's 6 hero archetypes. And these hero archetypes, so there are 6 main characters, and each of the archetypes relates to a chakra. So, for instance, I have a character who's the warrior, and these are like modern-day humans that demonstrate how realistically, not with kryptonite and capes, nothing like that, but realistically, how everyday humans, like me, like you, can really rise, use our special and innate talents and gifts and develop those to help contribute what we have to the world. Like what Mother Teresa had is very different from what I have. And you know, I'm sure what I have is very different than you. We all have our special gifts. So my 6 archetypes kind of go with the chakras. So the first archetype is the warrior, and the warrior is related to the first chakra. And this character, he's very rebellious and impulsive and kind of like a, you know, when he starts out as not really a great human being because he's like chasing money and womanizing and chasing like sensations of life, which is that first chakra when it's out of balance. But through the book, he makes a glorious transformation where you literally get to see him change from kind of like a scuzzball into a very holy version of a first chakra human dominant human being. And then there's the protector, which is related to the second chakra. And he's just noble, steadfast, kind, kind of quiet, but just very diligent. Always looking for an old lady to help cross the street or a woman to you know, help save or something, and he kind of has that like nobility, that loyalty inside of him. And then the fourth chakra is the healer, and you kind of actually sound like you might be a healer, just from talking to you. And that is somebody who just loves love, and they just love people. They just want to help them any way they can, whether it be with talking to them, touching them, sharing emotions, like helping make things safe and comfortable again. So I think that's your archetype. Just from talking to you for a few minutes.
Right.
And then there's the master, who's all about communication. Like the master is the person who can understand these great like universal concepts and really break them down into like, you know, understandable, biteable, chewable, digestible pieces to kind of share with people. And then there's the leader, who's linear and logical and can easily devise like new systems of doing things and even a new government if we needed one. And then there's the teacher, which is the seventh chakra hero archetype, and he's like the one ring that rules them all. He has fully developed every one of the other hero types. And I think that's the goal for all of us on this path, is to really integrate every chakra, every attribute, and really become a complete human being, versatile and you know, with no boundaries, literally. So those are the heroes, and they're modern day, as I said, modern day, my modern day version of characters, you and me, everyday people, who can really develop themselves and their minds to just contribute their energy and their story to making the human story a really beautiful one.
Well, you know, I thought it was really important, too, in the book that it gave logical answers. Like, I don't recall what page it was, but it said, I'm going to listen to my intuition. And, you know, we all, how many times have we not listened to our intuition? Instantly in our head comes up something else or someone else or whatever. But if someone says, get up, go do the dishes, that could be an intuition thing, let's say. And you're like, oh, but I just don't feel like getting up. I want to watch this show. You know, I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed, blah, 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 blah. And if you just say, I'm going to listen to my intuition, you will get up and you will do it. So really, it's about how guided can your life be, even if you just did it for one day and yes. said, I'm going to listen to my intuition. And every yes. time something came in your mind, you would just do it. And then I think the next step is really, now I need to decide, is it my ego? Is it my just wants and needs that I'm doing it for? Or is it really my intuition? Or is it my inner guidance? And then, you know, then you start working on that process. What is really driving those thoughts in your mind to be able to do those? And then when you kind of figure those out, you know, in other words, your intuition, let's say your intuition says, oh, I see that glass of bottle of wine over there and I'm going to go drink it. Now, you might do that for a day or two till you figure out, is that intuition, is that greed, is it gratitude, is it self nurturing or not? And that's how you, I guess, progress. I think a lot of times people need to progress through things to be able to find the answers instead of always somebody saying, you're going to read my book and you're going to get it today and else something's just going to click. Or, you know, if it didn't click, do you want your money back? You know, we all talk about that. And really when it's about progression. You know, I had said yeah. in the beginning of the call, you know, this talk that we had today was, I said, you know, I always dabbled in a lot of things because I really think you can't tell me how bad a migraine hurts until you've had them. Let me tell you, I've had them. Don't anybody come and tell me that, you know, oh, I have a migraine and you don't know what I'm talking about. Not true. Or kidney stones, or, you know, surgeries, or loss, or overextended, or all of these other things, you know, or hurricanes, or whatever all those things might be, because I've dabbled in enough of them to be able to sense them enough and experience them and take the lessons learned and move to the next thing. It's just really about now, how can you fine-tune that? And I think that's where your book really comes into. Now we're in the process, I think. You know, the whole everybody, it seems, is starting to figure out, is it intuition or is it something else that's driving me?
Yeah. So actually, everything that you're talking about is so interesting. I just recently became a Huffington Post blog writer. Yay!
Oh, great.
It's very exciting. I just published my second article maybe a week ago. And it's called, and I'm doing a series where I'm describing each of these modern day hero archetypes. And this one is called Love Is the Healer's Hidden Cape. And exactly what you just said, I literally wrote it almost verbatim in my blog. It's kind of crazy. So I really, I encourage you to read it because I think you'll really identify with it. But the line, I'm just going to paraphrase myself because I can't quote myself exactly, but something that, a healer isn't somebody who, you know, is like a Christ-like image, like floating above the ground in glimmering holy robes that right. has never made a mistake or never had a moment of anger or egoic monstrosity. But a true healer is somebody who has made every mistake in the book. And
right.
and they no longer demand perfection from themselves or others. But what they do is they really try to leave every situation better than they found it, every person better than they found it. And
right.
and that is what you're talking about, and that's what I call unconditional love. It's like, yeah, I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
I've made every mistake, and I understand, but who you see in the mirror right now is not the end of the story. And there's more for you. Like, just keep working, keep going. I'll encourage you, you know, and I'll help you, I'll nurture you, whatever sort of, like, you need, I'm here for you. Even if you have been through something I don't understand, I'm willing to say I don't understand it, but I'm willing to sit with you as you process it. That, is to me, is a true healer.
And I think that's where we're coming now to the crisis of healthcare, is that people are craving that so much right now. Their minds, their spirits, and their hearts have just been dinged so many times in so many
yeah.
lifetimes that as they try to reconstruct themselves, you can't do it until you're able to shed some of that old and realize that the new pieces coming in are not those to replace those dings and holes. It's just to be able to grow forward. And healthcare has not yet grasped that. So I think it's going to go down the tubes rather quickly. And this is the type of, you know, then you look for what is a healer. And
yeah.
that's where it's probably going to go.
I think a healer is a state of heart, and it's a state
mm-hmm.
of mind. And then the technical skills, you know, those follow as well. You can get certified in any of the modalities, whether it be Western, Eastern, Universal,
right.
you know, whatever else exists out there. But a true healer is a healer no matter what they do, even if they're, you know, working a 9-to-5 job as a receptionist, or even if they're, you know, a stockbroker, or even if they're working at the local Circle K or 7-Eleven. Like, you know a healer when you meet them, because they're able to be really present with you and just with you in that moment.
And that's important to look, too. You know, I mean, you know, when we go to the specialists or the physicians and we say, I'm looking for that, how are you going to get that? You know, what is that going to look like? And many times people can't say that, you know, they don't understand that when you go to a physician, sometimes that's just their profession. That is just their J-O-B, as we would say, you know. And
yeah.
maybe you have to understand, what are you really looking for and who are you really seeking it out from, instead of being disappointed all the time. You know, stand up and say, when I go to the doctor, I'm not looking to be healed. I'm looking for an answer to my infection or my answer to my whatever that might be instead.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, every person, my hope for the world, my true wish for the world, is every person that is able, and every person actually, really stops having J-O-Bs and
right.
stops having just intellectual knowledge, but fully integrates what intellectual knowledge that they have into developing themselves to be a really engaged, really fantastic, really conscious human being. You know what I mean? I think
right.
the time for the J-O-B is over. It's time for the P-A-S-S-I-O-N. Did I spell that right?
Right. yep.
Yeah. So my brain doesn't have spell check. I'm a writer, so fortunately my computer does. Hallelujah. I love technology.
Well, you know, and even in your book, you know, you had said, you know, that the world has left scars on you, which is exactly what I just said, you know, those dings. It's the same thing, you know. You can have those dings almost anywhere in your being and in your spirit or in your heart, and just to be able to recognize them first is what we'll be able to say, okay, that's not intuition, that what I'm feeling is a self-medicating need for this or that or the other scar that might be there.
Yeah, you know how I tell, and everyone's different, you know, but how I tell the difference between my intuition and my personality or my ego or my, you know, past wounds
mm-hmm.
is, let me give you, like, I know it's hard to do on air live airtime, but give me 1 second to make sure this makes sense, because I'm just thinking on the fly here. So when it's my intuition, okay, yeah, here it is. So when it's not my intuition, there's always something in it for me. It's like a little needy or grabby. Like if I'm feeling empty and then I meet someone and I'm like super friendly, but, and you know, on the surface it looks nice. Like I'm smiling at, hi, I'm Rebecca, you know. But what I'm looking to do is like get energy from them. That is not my intuition. That's my ego. But my intuition usually is about sharing versus taking. It's about receiving versus overindulging. You know, it's okay to receive. You know, for me, it's okay to receive wine sometimes. I love wine. It's so delicious. It's like a sensual experience. I allow my body to, like, receive this wine and just a little bit satisfies me. But if I'm, like, gulping the wine down, it's not an intuitive impulse. It's something different. It's not coming from a soft and gentle, harmonious place of sharing or receiving.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So, sometimes my ego's tricky. Like, sometimes I think I'm doing something, and I have the best intentions, and then when it's over, I feel weird. Like, I feel, like, not satisfied, and I feel, like, a little, like, ugh. And then I'm like, oh, man, that slippery little sucker. My ego got me again.
It's sort of like something you have to, what we would say, backtalk. You know, you have to go back, you have to revisit it, and feel like you're always rewriting it in your head. So if you're always rewriting it in your head, you know, after it's occurred, then it's maybe potentially not exactly how it should have been. I just wanted to touch real quickly, too, in your book, and I know this has been a huge thing, and I've tried to explain it to people. When you talk about using your personal energy and the universal energy, I know for myself, and this is just a tiny example of it, but I would always say people would, you know, I was a dental hygienist for 30 years. You know, I cleaned over 1 million teeth, and people would say, oh, my gosh, you know, how did you do all that? And I really noticed that I really just had power in my own two fingers or three fingers. I never took the power and the force into my whole body. Sort of like I would ask somebody, could you just massage this part of my back, right? And I would see them pushing and their whole body would be moving and their energy, they're trying to get their energy into that spot. And I'm like, no, I didn't ask for you to do it. I just asked for the energy to go into that spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I would try to teach them, you know, just take your finger and just think about your finger and the energy to go into that spot. You don't need to push with your arm or your shoulder or your body. You know, just use the intention with the energy right there at that one spot. And then you're not tired. You know, you see massage therapists and stuff, and they're like, gosh, I can't do more than 2 patients in 1 day. Well, maybe that's because you've put all of you, your personal energy into it, instead of letting your hands and the energy of the work that you're doing take that energy instead. And that's just a simple example. And then, you know, it's the same thing. You know, you've spoken so much further about it, about personal energy. You know, healers have this all the time. If you go into, I was, you know, in open heart surgery for a year or so, and, you know, 12, 14 hours standing on your feet doing this very intense work, and you're standing there, and you're saying, how can these people do this day in and day out for 7 days a week and all these years and blah, 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 blah. And it's because they just learn to flow with that energy and let their hands do the intention. And it's really all about that, you know. In other words, don't worry about my feet hurt. I have to go to the bathroom. I've got a headache. What am I going to do when I get out of here? And I've got to pick up dinner and it's getting late. You know, all of that stuff, just flow with it. Just put your energy and intention in that one little space, and you just don't wear yourself out or anything.
Yeah. I think, you know, as I said to you, I started out as a pretty big hot mess, and so I basically did everything wrong that I could. I mean, like, if there is a way to do something wrong, I did it wrong. So I
No, you didn't do it wrong. You were collecting book material.
I was, actually.
That's right.
So I know exactly what you're talking about because I used to use that personal power. And when the switch happened for me, it was automatic. It happened in like one moment, and then I had this epiphany. I was like, oh, my God, it's about trust. It's about trust that what I'm doing is enough. And so so when I'm using my personal energy, I'm trying to do a good job. I'm trying, like, trust. As Yoda says, how does Yoda say that? He says, do not try or something. I can't anyway.
Yeah.
I can't do actions very well. Or there is no trying, there's only doing. Or someone said that anyway. And that's what it is. So I used to try really hard, and I exhausted myself. And I wanted people to, like, have a good experience, and I wanted to be the one to give it to them. And now, they just trust. And you know, when I give lectures or when I'm in front of people, like, I don't even plan what I'm going to say. I just get up there, and I just say the first thing in my mind. So I just trust. Like, one lecture, I got up in front of, like, 200 people, and I said, my first words out of my mouth were, man, I'm real depressed.
Yes, and absolutely.
Yeah, but it was one of the best. I mean, it was a really, you know, it was an experience where me and the audience and every person got to come together in a really honest moment and then rise from that into something really great. So, yeah, so whatever you're doing, even if, just don't worry. Like, trust that what you're doing and who you are is enough. And even if it's just a little smile and not a 100-watt beaming smile, just trust that what you feel, like, authentically doing in that moment is what is exactly needed for the situation. That's how you use universal energy.
And I think to also trust and understand that not everybody's going to be on the same page as you. I know so many times when I do the radio, I never, ever take questions. You know, people will send them and I'll say, thank you so much, but I really do it from intuition base. I understand your work and we're just going to have a conversation. And some people get so offended and it's like, okay, but we're just going to keep going along that road, you know. And you just sit there and the conversation just flows, you know, and it's just so much easier. And you understand, too, you know, like you and I do sometimes when we do that, we're being in our honest and our true self. There may be those people who will wish and gravitate and listen. And there also may be those who repel because they may not be in that place or it may be bringing up something for themselves or it may be uncovering something that they don't want to expose themselves. So you really just have to sit back and say, you know, and I mean, this is a very tough lesson, I think. It's taken me decades to get grasp, but also is that it isn't about me. It is not, you know, being in the public, you know, as you and I are, it's not about us. It's about us just presenting and being present and whatever response is theirs.
Yes. We're, you know, anyone who's in the public eye has really kind of stepped forward as a mirror, as a mirror for what's possible, as a mirror for what not to do, as a mirror for what you don't want to see, as a mirror for, and it's just, we're all mirrors. Even if we weren't public figures, we would still be mirrors to the people around us. We're just, you know, like one of those mirrors that have many sides, so many people can look at the same time. But yeah, that is a big lesson that I also have learned for the most part.
And I think sometimes we always go back and forth. I mean, that's also, too, supposed to be able to challenge us to say, I recognize it. Hey, isn't it even better to recognize it than to constantly be on the wrong frequency? It's sort of like, how many times are you going to listen to that country music song? You know?
Yeah, I still fall into the trap of wanting that picture that my mind has that is like, everyone's going to love you. But I try to be mature. I really do. And you know, I know where I come from in my own heart. And it's, when I meet people, I really try to just be, to notice their beauty and perfection. So when people don't notice mine, I'm like, hey, but I saw your perfection.
And I, you know what I noticed too is sometimes I think in the social media era is that we've really opened up the Pandora's box for everybody to spew. And what I've done is I've just gone in and shut off comments on everything because, you know, if anybody needs help, they can email me. But I really didn't need everybody to spew and dissertate, you know, on something that would be my intention, and it was my intention for myself, and I was just sharing. And I think that's what we really are not, the public has not grasped that yet. They're still in the act of reacting.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really lucky because I have an amazing group of people that I work with that they really shield me from, they let me know what's important, and but they kind of shield me from the general buzz. They're just really, like, good people. So I can just focus on my work, you know. They kind of, like, catch the balls that are flying in whatever, good and bad. And then just kind of pass the ones that I need.
You so mean that dense orb doesn't hit you in the head and impale you every day?
Yes, yes. So I think having good people that love you and believe in what you're doing, even if it's just your family, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Or your dog or your, you know, your cat or just some being or some life force that just supports, lets you feel loved and supported. And if you feel loved and supported, there's nothing you can't accomplish. But most importantly, if you love and support yourself as if you were your own soulmate, as if you were your own love of your life, if you're on your own team, there's nothing you can't do. Nothing. No matter
and
how
I think,
I mean, it doesn't even matter. It does phase if you have, but not for long, you know?
Right. And I think that's really what your book is all about, you know, even though it is a novel, it is really about taking you along the path and saying, listen to this, and isn't this cool, and oh my gosh, this happened, and how can we get through this, and you can see the steps and stumbles along the path of coming to the point where you could say, you know what, I'm feeling trusted, I'm secure in my space, and this is what I think I will do. And because this is not an easy path for everyone, not everyone is on the same path, not everyone is same frequency, not everybody has the same position or job or even interacting with them, you know, each other. Someone might be the person that's supposed to push your buttons, and you're the one that's supposed to be able to learn how to not be pushed by buttons. So it's important to be able to stand up and, you know, and recognize that, but still, you know, you can't go about and judge and have labels, and it's just about letting the world just evolve and it, you know, unfold as it is.
Exactly. And so everything we've talked about today and much more, I think that's just what the novel is. Like, I had a mentor, actually. I had somebody who was very emotionally mature, very spiritually mature, very spiritually experienced. He's an enlightened grand Tao master from South Korea. Wonderful man. Never even imagined I would have a mentor like this. And he really just helps me keep focused. Like, when I start to feel like a victim, or I can't do something, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not thin enough, or smart enough, or beautiful enough, or experienced enough, he just kind of, or if I'm getting a little too big for my britches, and I'm like a little sassy, and I think I know everything, he just gently like points me back to my spirit. Says, no, that's what you should focus on. That's why you're alive. You're developing that. Don't get distracted. So because I've been so lucky. I mean, it was a miracle story how the two of us were united. But I won't go into that now. But because I had that went into the book. So all that wisdom that I have gleaned through my experiences with this, his name's Ilchi Lee, all my experiences that I had with him, it went into that book. So essentially, this book is my relationship between myself, my soul, my divinity, and also a lot of the things I learned from my mentor. So this book, because it was so intimate, because it was my heart and my soul and my experiences, this book can be a guide like that. Like, not everyone has access to a mentor like that, but everyone can buy a book, you know. $14.95. It's like, it's, you know, it's not a big 4 hours reading, you know, or 2 days reading something. All that wisdom went into the book. So I'm just really grateful to have had such amazing experiences, which I can't even, in an hour conversation, can't even go give them justice. But I spent a year crafting this novel and putting all of those wisdoms into it. So it's my, because I received such a big gift, it's my way of, like, paying it forward and sharing what I got with as many people as possible. I really had a Cinderella story with him. It was remarkable.
Oh, well, Rebecca, it was absolutely wonderful to have you on the show today. Could you share with the listeners about how to find out more about you and be able to find out, you know, what you have going on? That would be great.
Yeah. So I'm all over the internet. I have videos and meditations and blogs and da-da-da-da-da. So if you just Google my name, Rebecca Tinkle, you'll find lots of cool stuff to dive into. But if you really want to go to a focus, something that you know, I've created and my like work associates and staff has created, is my two websites. There's secretofmagocastle.com. That's secretofmagocastle.com. Or RebeccaTinkle.com. And then you can also find me on Facebook. I'm the most active on my Secret of Mago Castle page. That's where I put a lot of the cool stuff. So find me there, Twitter, Instagram, you name it. I got my finger in all the pots.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I think it was a great book, and it's really something that people can have a different take on it and see how they logistically might be able to walk through the challenges that they're having these days.
Yeah, and I'm so appreciative of you having me on today and having this. I loved our conversation. And if you ever want to have me again, just let me know. And if I have anything cool going on in Sedona that I think that you should, like, most definitely come out for, I would love to invite you to that as well. I'll keep my ears pricked.
Fabulous. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
If you'd like to find out more information about Rebecca Tinkle, and her book is The Secret of Mago Castle, it is on the bottom of today's show page. Please do click on there directly, and it'll go directly to her website. And please do take a chance and purchase the book, and it is a great story. I'll tell you, it's a little longer read. You know, I always say that about, because I get 4 or 5 books a week, and, you know, I'm like, okay, this one's going to take me a little bit longer. But it just flowed, and you get intrigued into a story, and you say, well, what has happened here, and what's going to happen next? And there's times even where you want to set it down and say, I'm going to come back to it later. So really don't rush through it. Kind of really just take out your pen and, you know, write in the side of the page and underline a few things, and you'll always come back to it and say, you know, I didn't notice that last time, or, hey, I forgot all about that. So please do check out Rebecca's book. Again, it's Rebecca Tinkle. The book is The Secret of Mago Castle, and it is a novel. And thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher on Alternative Medicine and Wellness, and have a great day. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone or the television remote or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.